to One Christian Church. We're so glad you're listening in. It's our prayer that the Word of God will both challenge and inspire you as you listen.
Open with a quick question. Who agrees that good people can make bad decisions? Amen. So, is there anybody who doesn't fall into that category of you're a good person, but you just make bad choices sometimes? I put myself in that category most definitely, that there are some things that we do that we should not do, yet we do them. We've all been there. We all do it. We know what is right, yet somehow, for some reason, we don't do what's right all the time. Under pressure from teachers or boss or spouse or peers, there seems to be this constant pressure on us to not do what's right. True? It's difficult, huh? It's difficult to always do what is right, to not so much big black lies, but just little white lies. And you're not really lying, you're just omitting the information. You just want to lead the conclusion this way rather than where it really is. It's easier not to get in trouble, right? And if you can deflect and put it off for another day or another person, that's the road we head. We go to the path of least resistance. We don't want to hit the rock. And so we all find ourselves in the same spot where we feel guilty for sometimes the smallest little things, which sometimes seems unfair given the world is full of, you know, Ponzi schemers and pyramid salesmen and parasites, just people that will lie to your face and steal your life savings and sleep like babies at night. It's incredible to think there are people like that that can just literally rob you blind and they have no qualms about it, but you go and tell one little white lie and you can barely sleep. You know, when your conscience is heightened, it's just incredible. Do you know when I was young? I mean, a kid, grade, would it be maybe eight, actually. It was just grade eight. And I was trying to discover myself and all the peer pressure. Anyway, I'm getting this constant, you know, you've got to steal something. If you're going to be cool, you've got to steal something. So I remember my first grand theft was a packet of Lifesavers, right? I steal this packet of Lifesavers. I go home and I did not sleep one wink. It was the longest night of my life. I was waiting for the SWAT to come in. I was expecting the light through the window. I was like, oh, I'm going to die. It's going to be a horrible death. So the first thing I did in the morning was sneak back and unsteal them. I put them back. So I'm not really a good thief. But you see, when your conscience is heightened, when you're aware of what's right and wrong, there's this effect on your body. You see, if you feel guilty about telling some little white lie, praise God! Because if you ever get good at lying and being sneaky and telling untruths and misdirecting conversations, you're in big trouble. You're in really big trouble because it means your conscience is what Paul says is being seared with a hot iron. Any guys who do some trade work? I know, Dave, over here, you've got hands like a paper buck, right? I remember when I was in the trades, my first trade was as a stone mason. And we would move 3 ton of rock a day with our bare hands. And so my hands got so hard, you could literally, I know this is visual for some of you, you could put a nail through my hand and I wouldn't even feel it. It didn't hurt, I couldn't feel it. Your calluses can get so bad that all sensation is gone. And if you ever get to the point where you are knowingly lying and it's not bothering you, God help you. You need to repent really quickly. You need to come back and go, God, there's something wrong with my life. I'm lying and I'm cheating and I'm stealing and I don't feel like it's wrong. I'm justifying it. Now, that would be a problem for anybody. But if you call yourself a Christian, you are in real trouble. So a message to all of us, because we all have a human nature that tends toward the path of least resistance, the path that allows us to get out of trouble when we're in trouble, the path that allows us not to pay that debt when we have to pay that debt, that path that allows us to say the truth when we don't really want to say the truth. So I want to talk to you today about principles. In fact, we're going to start a series on our principles. Why are they so important? Because the principles are the things that we will stand for, the things we will fight for, the things we will live for, and the things we will die for. And we want to be seen by ourselves and the world as a principled people, a people who actually stand for something. Remember John Cougar Mellencamp sang that song, you know, who stands for nothing falls for anything? I wouldn't call him a prophet, but that's pretty profound, right? If you don't stand for something, you will fall for just about anything. If you don't know what you stand for, well, you'll happily accept wrong because you don't know what you stand for. So, are we a principled people? Are we? We should be, because if you know what is right and wrong, then you have the ability to be a principled person. So what is right and wrong? Well, I would recommend to you, if you're looking for something to build your life upon, here's a good place to start. In fact, it's the only place to start. This is a book of principle. And if you live your life by this book, you will be a principled person. Underwhelming. Let's try that one more time. If you live your life by this book, you will have principles. You will be a principled person. And if you're not yet a principled person, I'm telling you today you can change. You can begin a process of change. The Holy Spirit can make you feel guilty when you should. The Holy Spirit's not into making you feel guilty over dumb stuff. He will make you feel guilty about stuff that's not right. People can make you feel guilty over dumb stuff. But the Holy Spirit, when He convicts you of sin, you have a responsibility to respond. Don't run away from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Follow His conviction. If He says, stop doing that, Phil, if your name's Phil, stop doing that, Phil, then stop doing it, Phil. If He tells you to start doing something, then just jolly well start doing it. What is a principle? A principle is a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behaviors or for a reasoning. Do you understand the things that you do? Do you even stop and think about the things that you do or why you actually do them? In simple form, principles are rules by which we live. Can I simplify it any more? Principles are a set of rules by which we live. James 1, verse 22 to 25 says, but be doers of the word, this is the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. Anyone look in the mirror this morning? If you didn't, you should have. Verse 24, for he observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You'd say that's a problem, right? If I stood in front of the mirror and I saw a skinny white Caucasian, I walked away and thought, I must be a black American. You'd think I'm an idiot, right? Okay, so, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in the perfect law of liberty and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. It is one thing to profess to be a Christian. It's another thing to live as a Christian. It's one thing to agree with the word. It's another thing to do it. If I say I'm a Christian, but I live by my own principles, by man's principles, and call myself a Christian, and it has a different set of principles than the one that man lives by, you'd have to say, it's a bit like a white, skinny Caucasian man standing in the mirror, and the second his reflection is gone, starts talking like a black African American. You'd say that's a bit bizarre, right? Yet how often we look at what the Bible says about us, and it says, Phil, the fact is you're a sinner and you're deserving of death, yet Jesus Christ paid for your sin. He loves you so much that He gave His own life that you would find life. And I say, I accept what it says about me. I'm a sinner, and I receive what He said about me. I receive His forgiveness, and I receive His life. And I say, I give You my life. I'm going to serve You. I'm going to love You. And the second I put this down, I go and live my way. That's absurd. That doesn't make any sense to anybody, especially the world. Because when they see a professing Christian living a life that's contrary to the little that they know about the Bible, they go, this is absurd. You see, it's important that we live as principled Christians because not only does it benefit us, you will be blessed if you do what it says, but the world would stop looking at us as hypocrites. And when we share the gospel, it would be more than some theoretical religious mumbo jumbo. They would look at our lives and go, wow, that's true. It really has changed your life. The world has little tolerance for our inconsistencies. Let me assure you of that. So why do we not live a principled life? Why do we make those choices that are wrong when we know what is right? It's because even though we might have professing principles, we are a people of preference. We put convenience over conviction. In that moment, I know what is right to do, yet I'm a coward. I know I should stand and declare the truth, but it's just easier to be quiet. So the problem with the world today is not the world, but the church, that knows its principles yet doesn't stand by them, agrees that this is the word of God but doesn't live by it. This is a problem, and it must be addressed. So we are going to become a principled people, a principled church. And over the coming weeks as we go through this principle series, you are going to know what we stand for, what we will fight for, what we will live for, and what we will daily die for. And if you're new to the church, I'm not talking about a suicide pact or anything stupid like that. What we are talking about is dying to self, is putting your needs to death, your wants to death. That's when we say dying to self. So what's the difference between a principle and a preference? It's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. Many people get passionate about things that they believe are principles and they're just preferences. For example, in my home, there is a right and there is a wrong way to load the dishwasher. I tell you, I live in a house of Martians. It doesn't matter how I say it, it doesn't seem to work. Don't put the knives and forks there. How is the water going to drain out if the cup is up that way? That dishwasher is something I will fight for. I will stand for, I will live for, I'm not going to die for, but I tell you, I'm going to kill in a minute. Now, I'm very passionate about the way the dishwasher is stacked, and I have good rationale for why I think it should be stacked the way I stack it, and the way everyone in my house should stack it. Is it a principle? It's a preference. It's just a preference. True? And no matter how passionate I am about it, no matter how convinced I am that my dishwashing stacking is the way to do it, ultimately, it's my preference. It's not a principle, and it's not going to change anybody's life. So how do I assess that principle in my life, which I treat as a principle some days, as opposed to some other principles in my life? And why is it that I can be so passionate about that, and then something that really matters I can be a coward on? Well, it's because I betray my principles for my preferences. I choose the immediate gratification, the immediate relief from struggle, the immediate running away from pain in that awkward conversation. I know I should do it, but I don't. My preferences take the place of my principles. My principles are sacrificed for my convenience. That's a problem. And just in case you're wondering, I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to me, and you get to watch me squirm. I'm assuming all of you are perfect and none of you fall in this area. It's just me. So you can watch as I preach to me. Is it wrong to have preferences? Like the dishwasher. Is it wrong to have them? No. In fact, our preferences are fantastic and unique and as wonderful as your own thumbprint. Your preferences are good unless they compromise your principles. You see, my dishwasher stacking preference is a great thing if it keeps us all hygienic and happy. But if that preference takes the place of a principle of harmony and unity and love in our home, then I've got to address my preferences. Don't go there. It's not happening today. But one day it will be addressed when you learn to stack the dishwasher properly. See, a principled life is not a life void of preferences. A principled life is just one that puts principles over preferences. Quite simple. So I wanted to give you five quick criteria on what a principle is made up of. The first thing is principles are timeless. That means they don't change over time. When I grew up 50 years ago, it was a very different world. Boys knew they were boys. It wasn't confusing back then, but now it's confusing. Because we have switched timeless principles for preferences. The second thing that you will find a principle is it's solid and it is sure. So not only is it timeless, you cannot manipulate a principle. They're solid. They're the sort of things you want to build your life on. They're inflexible to you and to everybody else. A principle is self-standing. It's self-sufficient. The third thing a principle is, it's very uncomplicated. I've noticed, have you ever watched the TV show Suits? It's about a bunch of lawyers or liars or whatever you want to call them. But this is a group of people. The whole show would end in one series if someone just told the truth once. I mean, you'd have no TV show. But these guys can go for 55 series. I don't know. It's never going to end because they're perpetual liars. And the more they lie, the more complicated their little world becomes. You see, a principled life is a very uncomplicated life. You tell the truth, and that's it. You don't have to watch behind. You think, hang on, what did I tell Mary? You go down an unprincipled life, and you have a very complicated life. So the third thing that you'll notice about principles is it uncomplicates your life. Who'd like to uncomplicate their life? Number four, principles are authoritative. That means principles have the final word in your life, not your preferences or you. You see, you answer to your principles, whereas your preferences answer to you. Do your preferences run your life or do your principles run your life? Do you do what you need to do, must do, should do, know what you should do, or do the things that you want to do run your world? And the fifth thing that a principle has, if you're wondering about how to create a criteria for a principled life, there's 66 books here, or just consider this list first of all. These five little things will give you a hint as to how this is made up. There is inherent truth about the cost and the benefit of principles. A principle in itself has a cost, and a principle in and of itself has a benefit. Doesn't mean you always see the benefit immediately. An immediate benefit to a preference is long-term cost. You see, you might lie and get out of trouble in that moment, but mark my words, you only got out of it in that moment. It's going to catch you up. Whereas the principle, it will have an immediate cost, but the pain will be short-lived. The cost will be short-lived. What is the basis for our principles? Well, I've already talked to you about it. It's the Word of God, because it doesn't change. It's as solid as a rock. You cannot manipulate this thing, and if you do, wow, you're not very wise. Don't try and manipulate the Word of God for your benefit. This is not complicated. Live by this and your life is uncomplicated. This is authoritative. This is authoritative. We got up this morning and we spoke our declaration. This is the highest authority in my life. If we're a principled person, that's true. Is this the highest authority in your life, or are you, or your boss, or your wife, or the tax man, or the government, or the TV, or YouTube? What's the highest authority in your life? What tells you what to do and what not to do? What is it? That's where authority comes from. Is it you? Heaven help you if it is. So this is the foundation, the benchmark, the all of our principles right here. So through this series, we're going to talk about the things that we're going to live for, stand for, fight for, and we will die for. Not because it's trendy or it's convenient or immediately advantageous, but because our principles reflect the nature of God. The way we live reflects God. You know, we just read before in James that it's to your benefit if you live a principled life. But I want to tell you, it's so much bigger than you living a principled life. The world's watching everything we do and everything we say. And when we say God loves you and we behave in a contrary manner, we are misrepresenting God in either action or word. And so it is important that we understand principles are not just about us. Our principles are preaching an incredible gospel. Our life is often the only Bible that most people will read. God has chosen His church to reveal Himself to a lost world. That means you and I are the answer to a lost and dying world. You and I are the chosen conduit which God chooses to reveal Himself, His nature, His principles. If we want the people out there to know the God of the Bible, we have to represent Him. We have to represent His nature and His principles. And if we're not doing it, we should be quiet. Stop preaching and start living, and our lives will be a living word. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not opposed to preaching the gospel. I want you all to go and do it at least once this week. But don't miss the point. If our lives are completely contrary to the Word of God, it's better to be quiet than to misrepresent. Hey, let me ask you a quick question. If you had one word to sum you up, what would it be? I mean, you get to the end of your life, and they say, oh, Steve was honest. Wouldn't that be nice? If you had one word said about you, he was just so truthful.
Do you know what the thing about Zuck was amazing was? He always did what he said he was going to do. Not once did he say to me, I'll do this, and then change his mind in convenience. Geraldine is the most loving person I've ever met. How'd you like that said about you? I didn't say that. I'm just saying hypothetically, mate, hypothetically. You see, we want good things said about us, but we won't pay the price. I'm not saying you don't, but you know what I'm saying? If we want things said about us, we have to act in a manner that would cause people to say that about us. If you lie and cheat and steal, there's a high probability at the end of your life they're not going to sum you up as a nice, honest person. Yeah, we want it, but we don't want to pay the price. And so the question is, what sort of life are we building? And who are we representing? And if you don't know the answer to either of those questions, let me direct you for a moment to a bestseller. My favorite book could be yours. A book of almost no preference, but a book of principle. And if you surrender your preferences to a book of principle, your life can change in a moment. You can actually feel. I remember the night I got born again, I felt my whole world shift. Like it felt like 180 degrees, but it's probably only 1 degree because I was so crooked I wouldn't have been able to tell degrees anyway. But I felt this incredible shift in my life. Within an hour of leaving the church, I had left the band, I'd broken up with my girlfriend, I'd sworn I'd stop doing a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. Your life, when it's principled, is straight. I'm not talking about sexuality, I'm talking about your life is just simply straight. It'll go uphill and down dale and it'll go all sorts of places, but it's a straight road instead of complicated and winding. We are the worst enemies in our own life. When we choose our preferences over our principles, we muck up our own life, we mess up our own life, and it can stop if you can commit to a life of principle. Hey, ladies, how would you like your husband to be a man of principle? Don't you reckon it would be easier to submit? Do you know, my wife would nag me a lot less if I just did it when I said I was going to do it. I'd be much easier to live with. You see, when our lives are principled, you're blessed. That's what James just tells us there. If you will live a straight, principled life, your life will be blessed and less complicated. Who in the room can testify? You know when you have meant to do something, you've committed to do something and you shift. And the sense of guilt, stupidity comes upon you. You know when you're busted in a lie. And you get that, like you give yourself away because you've stopped breathing and your eyes have gone like 50% larger than usual and the blood's rushed out of your face. It's like, and you want to move, but you know if you move, you're going to throw up because you feel so guilty. I just complicated my life by one stupid little lie. I'm more worried about the consequence than the principle. And that's what preferences do. A principled person says, this is right and I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to do what's right because it's right. And God will bless me once I finish paying for my stupidity. Once I finish paying for standing up and doing what's right. Because I've got some news for you. In this world, when you stand up for do something right, it will cost you. I don't know if you're aware, but the world's not a big fan of Christians at the moment. I wonder if you can imagine a world, well, first of all, your life being principled, where every single preference you had was subject to principles, where every single preference took second place to your principles. Can you imagine? I dare you to imagine that world. I dare you to imagine where your yes was a yes and your no was not maybe, was no. Saying what you mean, meaning what you say, doing what you intend to do, being a person of integrity, being a person of principle. Can you imagine a church of principle? A church that knew what they stood for, what they would fight for, what they would live for, and what they would die for. Can you imagine a stranger walking in the church, a new person walking through that door, and they see a people who are honest with each other, caring for each other, loving each other, full of joy and peace and the Holy Spirit? I tell you, if they experienced that, the biggest problem we'd have would be getting rid of them at the end of the service. But most people walk into a church, not this one, most people walk into church and they see bickering. I'm only telling you this, sister, so you know how to pray for her. You wouldn't believe what happened to Steve this week. Anybody else's experience in church? Well, you know there's a bit of gossip going on, a bit of backstabbing going on. That has got to and is going to never be placed and acceptable in this church. If you're a gossip, you've got two choices, which will be to leave or to change. because it won't be okay. And it's not okay. And it's not just about this church. That's what the Bible says. And I'm happy to make the stance on this because it's what the Bible says. That's your chance to say amen. If you're unaware, on the wall we have 10 banners and they are our principles. Over the next 10 weeks, we're going to address each one of them. And we're going to choose to focus heavily on one per week because it matters that we are a principled person and that we are living according to this, the Book of Principles. Are you ready for change? I'm ready for change. I am totally ready for me to change more than any of you. I hope you can join me as we refocus on what we believe are our principles, what we declare are our principles, and commit to each one of them. Each week we're going to focus. Yes, I need to be more loving, no question about it. I agree that love is powerful. It's not a preference, it's a principle, the gospel. I love the gospel, but it's not a preference, it's a principle. That's got to be at the corner of my life. It's got to be something my whole life is built on, not just the gospel as a theory, but something I believe in, that my life has been bought by the blood of Jesus. It's no longer my own. So as we go around each week, you're going to get the sense that we are one because we're standing for the same things. We're fighting for the same things. We're living for the same things. And every single day we're going to choose to die. You know, unity is one of our first ones. We're going to do it next week. I tell you what, if you think you can have unity without it costing you, you are delusional. The only way you can have unity in a church is if everybody agrees my preferences come second to unity. I will put aside my taste in music, the time that I want the service to start, the music style, the worship leader, the music, the preaching. I'm going to put all that aside because I'm here for unity. Do you know the biggest problem with unity? You and I are the biggest hindrance to unity. We are going to be a principle people. Not a preference people, a principle. See, the world is already preference-based. That's the problem. You and I came into the church with our preferences. And our preferences have got to come under the principles of God. Is it going to hurt to be a principle people? You bet. It's going to sting. But God will be glorified. And we'll be unified, and the lost will be brought in. This is not just about us having a happy club. This is about us changing into the image of God. That's why Jesus died, not to leave me as a filthy sinner and just keep paying for it. He died so I would change and stop sinning. Holy Spirit moved on in, and he said, let's start there. And it hasn't stopped. And I hope it never does.
For more messages or information, you can contact us through our website at www.onechristianchurch.com.au. We would love to hear from you. Hope to see you this Sunday at One Christian Church.